And good morning, good morning, good morning, guys, and welcome to this morning's session of Tech Eagle here on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. And as you saw the Free Your Mind squad and team exit in terms of their parting shots that they left some of the callers, guys, you know, keep it friendly, you know, just keep the engagements friendly, especially from you, our callers. I know how sometimes you guys love, you know, also getting entrenched and engaged in the discussions that we provide here on a daily basis. However, starting off with the Tech Eagle for today, this is the second edition or second part of our cybercrime talk, because yesterday we looked at the most notable incidences, which ended at the end of February 2022, just last month. Everything and most of the traffic in that instance was centered around activities just before the Ukraine invasion by Russia. Now, most of the talk in and around the conflict itself has come about regarding various cyber attacks, various cyber incidences that were reported, various instances of even cybercrime taking place, and also spamming, you know, various networks being compromised and so on. Now, for today's session, I will allow caller engagements to come through at about 11:30. That's about 15 minutes from now. But today's discussion, we will just take a look at a more historic look at where the first instances of cybercrime actually came from. Because you have to understand, guys, even though the internet is considerably far older before the, you know, consumer use, meaning us, the normal people at home that make use of internet at home, you know, in order to be connected daily and read things, watch things, and share things. The internet had been in existence in the 80s and at least in the 70s as well. Well before it was sort of like commercialized, or sort of like, you know, access was granted to the greater global public. Now, a cyber attack, guys, as I mentioned yesterday, is an offensive maneuver that targets computer information systems, computer networks, infrastructures, or personal computer devices. Yesterday, I touched on how botnets came about, the various types of attacks that exist. There's even more, I'm going to go even through a more sort of like detailed list in today's discussion regarding such cyber attacks. Because cyber attacks happen every day. You don't see them. You don't even realize sometimes that you might have been part of one. The instance of a cyber attack still exists across the world. Now, most of the objectives, in most cases, the main objective by someone implementing or initiating a cyber attack is to gain access to data, to functions, or other restricted areas of a system without the proper authorization. It's almost just like, you know, you're not being allowed to walk through an extra door in a company that says authorized personnel only. It's the same approach. However, you just convert this now into a digital landscape in terms of where your computer represents you, and you now as a cyber attacker or as a netizen, someone on the net or constantly surfing on the net, tries to gain access to some, you know, restricted access areas that you don't have authorization for. It's a similar concept. Now, cyber attacks, guys, happen, as I mentioned, daily. And a product that facilitates a cyber attack is always called a cyber weapon. Cyber weapons usually are, you know, part and parcel of the cyber attacks. Yesterday, I illustrated the cyber attacks that took place, phishing, the distributed denial of service, that's the DDoS, the DNS, you know, you can go on with those elements, because that is the attack, but what is used to initiate the attack? That is what we're also going to highlight in today's discussion. So, cyber attacks have become more and more increasingly sophisticated, as well as also more and more dangerous as they've gone on. We step into the first instance in terms of cyber warfare and cyber terrorism that has also been touched on. Before we get there, we get to take a look at how prevalent a cyber attack is. Now, just measuring that back in 2017, in the first 6 months of that year, 2 billion data records were stolen or impacted by cyber attacks, as well as also where ransomware payments reached approximately $2 billion in that same period. This was double than that of 2016. In 2020 as well, with the increase of remote work as an effect of the COVID-19 global pandemic, cybersecurity statistics also revealed a huge increase in hacked and breached data. So, the prevalence shot up with the onset of COVID-19, meaning it became more often where cyber attacks were busy taking place in 2020, which was at the 2020, which is the height of the COVID-19 pandemic. And worldwide, information security market has also forecasted to reach approximately $170 billion by 2022 this year. So first and foremost, the global cybersecurity market themselves have forecasted growth in their own industry globally. Second to that is also you saw a major spike in 2022 because of the height of the pandemic, wherein the attacks became more prevalent, meaning they occurred more often. And 2017 was higher than that, to the first half of 2017 was higher than that of the entire 2016 in terms of cyber attacks and the costs that they incurred. So what does this mean to you? Well, first and foremost, while the digital space around the world, even in Namibia, is becoming more and more connected, we're becoming more and more, sort of like attached to these digital platforms, cybersecurity itself is also growing by its own rapid pace. So as the pace in terms of consumption, if you have that economics perspective, you have a rate of consumption that's growing on one end, and on the other end of consumption, or if you can call it like implementation, let's call it implementation instead. Implementation means someone that is running a parallel industry next to an industry that everyone is part of. Now, the industry that everyone is part of is the ongoing digital landscape. The landscape being the internet, applications, cryptocurrency guys, forex trading guys, social media companies, the content creators that you find on YouTube, or many of the myriad video platforms or streaming platforms. Even something as like a streaming platform like YouTube and Netflix as well. Now, that's the industry that you and I can see. Now, parallel to that industry, you now find guys that are actually generating more and more sophisticated cyber attacks or preparing for more and more sophisticated cyber attacks to breach the data or the data banks or databases of all these digital platforms that I've just mentioned. So, that's the scenario that we currently face ourselves with. And this will only grow exponentially as the year goes. Not just the year, but as the industry itself will go on ahead. Because we have to look at, guys, in terms of the Internet of Things as well. Because if you're refrigerator or your fridge is going to be connected to the internet, and you can tell your fridge all the way from the office, hey, listen guys, make it a little bit extra cooler because I can see that the milk is like 2 days old and I still need it to last an extra 2 days on top of this after the purchasing date. If that is the level of connectivity that you wish to have, what do you think then will someone do who writes specific cyber code or hacking code to try and compromise that one aspect, your fridge? To try and hack your fridge, or to try and hack your lights, or to try and hack your radio. There's someone that's busy with that. Now, another thing has also come out in linking into the discussion of yesterday, in terms of where I noted and, tagged that most of the most notable incidences in 2022 happened in and around the Ukraine conflict. They actually also preceded the Ukraine conflict in some instances, because for a long time. The US on one side had been complaining that Russia and China are the two are the world's biggest sort of like hubs for cybercrime, or you know, cyber terrorism, as they sometimes like to call it. Even if you switch on any American or you watch any American sort of like news channel, news outlet, they constantly identify the Russians as being involved in one or other hack or one or other systems, cyber systems compromising activity. But what that resource that I mentioned that I accessed yesterday and also, you know, shared with you here on Tech Eagle also noted was that the Americans themselves are also guilty of the same part of the same act. So the same also for the Europeans, because the Europeans sent a cyber warfare task team to Ukraine to assist the Ukrainians against any cyber attacks that the Russians would launch. Now, cyber attacks from one country to another is usually meant to compromise security systems. Not just security systems, but systems like your power, your water, your electricity grid. If you're like Ukraine that has nuclear power stations, to compromise and switch it off so that the people actually freeze to death, or they incur one or other inconvenience besides the obvious inconvenience of the conflict itself. Besides that. Now, the cyber attacks are there to destabilize the other systems that usually a society is based upon. A society has a banking system, a society has an electricity grid, and a society has a water, as water infrastructure, fresh water infrastructure. A society also has a communications grid, for that matter. Now, cyber warfare and cyber terrorism is not always about, you know, two countries up against each other, like in this instance of the Ukraine conflict. No. Cyber warfare utilizes techniques of defending and attacking information and computer networks, which inhabits the cyberspace. Think about it in this instance. You've got your bank is always connected to the internet because of the transactions that have to be recorded at the central bank, that being Bank of Namibia. As well as also Namfisa and also what's the other agency within the bank, within the BON, the Financial Intelligence Agency. All three of those organizations have to keep tabs and have to monitor transactions. Incoming, outgoing, whether it be international or whether it be internal in the country. So they have to analyze everything. Now, in most cases, cyber warfare would try and attack, firstly, the central bank, because all systems have to run through the central bank. Yes. Second to that is also, a cyber attack would then attack the bank itself. Now, what happens here in Namibia is that three of Namibia's commercial banks are actually South African franchises themselves, so their systems are also connected to the South African guys down south. So the South Africans would also know if the sister companies here in Namibia would be under such a cyber attack. Now, a cyber attack, guys, is meant firstly, it's not about going to steal money, it's about stealing information. That's what a cyber attack does. It steals information, or it compromises you so badly. Think of it as the COVID-19 virus, or the coronavirus does. It compromises your immune system so badly that if you try to recover, any other respiratory illness or virus that you contract after the coronavirus would hit you like 10 times worse than what the coronavirus does. So sometimes a cyber attack is firstly to compromise the system. Secondly, if the system is compromised, then any other cyber attack takes place after that, it'll just be a walk in the park for the second attack to come through and just, you know, destroy or annihilate the entire information system. So, cyber warfare, as mentioned, is usually a prolonged cyber campaign of a series of related campaigns. Now, it denies an opponent's ability to do the same while employing technological instruments of war to attack an opponent's critical computer systems. Cyberterrorism, for one, on the other hand, is the use of computer network tools to shoot down or to shut down critical national infrastructures. Like I mentioned just a few moments back, water, fresh water supply, electricity supply, your banking system, your power grid, four critical infrastructures or four critical systems that makes a national society function. Now, that's cyber terrorism on the one. But cyber terrorism, remember, is not about looking at a conventional terrorist. It's strategies that government-related cyber organizations employ. They make use of these things. Now, these national infrastructures, as mentioned, energy, transportation, government operations, or to coerce or intimidate a government or civilian population, meaning you hold a function of a national society hostage. Let's, for example, say the banking or communication, or on the other end, you probably hold the health facilities hostage in terms of where critical services are actually shut down to an extent. And this means that the result of both cyber warfare and cyber terrorism is actually the same, as I mentioned, and to damage critical infrastructures and computer systems linked together within the confines of cyberspace. Now, the financial crime expert, Veit Buiterlein, explained that an organization, that organizations specifically, including state actors, which cannot finance themselves through trade because of imposed sanctions, conduct cyber attacks on banks to generate funds. So guys, that is the sort of like the introduction, the first part of today's discussion. We'll quickly step into a short break. From the break, I'll announce now that the telephone lines will be open for your take just on cybercrime, cyber activity, and cyber terrorism. You can come through while I'll still be going through various aspects of the discussion for today. And on that note, let's see each other after this break.
It's time to celebrate your culture wherever you go. Are you ready to win big with a passion for your culture? Then you should definitely be part of the Culture Collection Journey as we display Namibia's diverse culture across the country. Buy any Omaire, Oshitaka or Oshikandela product and SMS the unique code on the gable top or cap to 88100 to win your share of $500,000 Namibian dollars. Keep pack as proof. Valid from 18 March to 29 April 2022. Culture Collection. Celebrate your culture. T's and C's apply. Powered by Namibia Dairies.
We come back from that break and heading into the second part of our discussion. As mentioned, the phone lines will be open now from 11:30 up to the end of the program at up to 12. And if you don't have the studio number, it's 083-288-401, 083-288-401. However, we're back to our discussion. Now, factors. Guys, you have to sometimes understand that factors sometimes also account for why cyber terrorism and cyber warfare or cyber crime or cyber attacks occur and happen. First and foremost, the specularity, there's known as a specularity or spectacularity factor. Spectacularity usually is when someone's ego is at play. I say this because there are some sort of rogue groups out there. For example, the guys that infected people's phones and PCs with the ransomware of about, I think it's 3 years back, in 2017. It was one of the first instances of ransomware where they also demanded you pay them in Bitcoin. They wanted Bitcoin as the ransomware. And this was in the early stages, not in the early stages, but in the early stages of when cryptocurrency actually sort of like boomed in itself. Now, hackers, as mentioned, the spectacularity factor is a measure of the actual damage that is achieved by an attack. Now, meaning that the attack creates direct losses, usually the loss of availability or loss of income, and also that it garners negative publicity. first and foremost, it gets out there to the media, and the media start reporting on this function as to, you know, asking the questions of the why, what, when, who did what, and, you know, what is the instance and how. Back in April 2000, mentioning this, a denial of service attack, this is one of the examples, severely reduced traffic to many major websites, including Amazon, Buy.com, CNN, and eBay. At that stage in 2000, now this was still in the early forms of commercial internet, meaning when the internet was starting to grow, expand, and develop throughout the instance of how we now engage with it. Now, Amazon at that stage in 2000 reported that they lost an estimated $600,000 in income. They lost $600,000 in potential income because of that attack that took place. The second factor that comes through is the vulnerability factor. The vulnerability factor exploits how vulnerable an organization or a government establishment is to cyber attacks. Now, organizations without maintenance systems might be running on old servers, which are more vulnerable than the updated systems taking place. An organization can be vulnerable to a denial of service attack, and a government establishment can be defaced on a web page. This does happen, guys. A computer network attack also disrupts the integrity or authenticity of data, and this is usually through malicious code that alters the program logic that controls the data, leading to errors in the output of the systems overall. So you get the spectacularity factor and you get the vulnerability factor. The vulnerability factor is, like I mentioned earlier, in terms of compromising the system from within, so that any other attack after the first compromise or the first attack had taken place, there is no defense for any, you know, maintained or updated or follow-up attacks taking place after the first initial attack that deteriorated or undermined a security system. Now, in the start, guys, way back, way, 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 way back, I'm talking about year 2000, 2001, 2003, you know, when we watched the famous spy movies like James Bond and the likes of Mission Impossible with, what's the guy's name that has a constant perm? Tom Cruise. Hackers were like this mythical being, this mythical creature, you know. They could smash on a keyboard and, you know, things would happen. Magic would happen. They were the type of cyber wizards that you would just, you know, envisage and wonder, wow, that looks cool. Now, hackers then were thought of in the sense of being autonomous, not aligned or nationalistic or being associated to any country, not having a specific, you know, they were just thought of like these loose roaming people out there in society. But hackers today, those hackers back then, migrated a sort of like a tendency wherein they have now begun to form cooperatives, meaning you would usually think that one guy would be responsible for compromising a system. Not usually. They would all work in a cooperative, meaning in a group, in a collective, in a collection. Now, professional hackers who are either working on their own or employed by a government agency or a military unit can find computer systems with vulnerabilities lacking the appropriate security software. This has also been reported on during the Ukraine conflict, wherein I think a lot of the United States news sources were indicating that hacker cooperatives or cyber attackers associated to the secret to the intelligence wings of the Russian army were responsible for certain cyber attacks taking place in and around the European zone, into the North America, and so on. However, this is something actually that everybody has been doing to everybody else, because the Americans have also been doing the same. Now, once these vulnerabilities are found. They can infect systems with malicious code and then remotely control the system or computer by sending commands to view content or to disrupt other computer systems. That is usually the botnet discussion I had yesterday, where I noted in where this is someone that takes over command of another computer, and that computer forms part of a network of computers under the command of one single computer. It's usually the master-slave discussion that hackers usually, or you know, that computer scientists usually actually know about. Because one computer would infect a network of computers in order to for a specific function. So, stepping in from the various expansion of attacks, yesterday I had a pretty limited one, but those were just the most common ones that take place. Cyber attacks can be even more detailed. So, you had phishing, you had DDoS, you had DNS, you had malware, you had Trojan, worm. Well, those ones were part of the other sort of like malicious malware attacks. But you get passive, you get active ones, you even get host, you even get bimodality attacks. Now, the active ones is the ones that I mentioned yesterday. The DDoS, denial of service, spoofing, mixed threat attack, or even the network attacks. The network attacks with that man in the middle, man in the browser, ARP, ping flooding, ping of death, and smurf attacking. However, you get the passive ones, like computer network surveillance. Then you get the network ones, which is about wiretapping, fiber tapping, port scanning, idle scanning. You then get hosting, or hosting attacks, which is another passive one. This is keystroke logging, data scraping, or backdoor entry. Backdoor entry is the one that we are really not in control of, because backdoor usually happens when government agencies ask the big tech companies in the world, like Google, like Facebook, like Yahoo, guys, or Microsoft even, build in a backdoor entry into your system to allow us to surveil, you know, to employ surveillance technology. That's the one that you can't really, you won't be even to put up like a consumer focus group discussion point on that, because across the world, everyone does it. I mean, if you go to China insulated themselves from the global internet, first and foremost, so that everything can be monitored by the Chinese intelligence authorities. Everything, guys. Everything. That's why you don't get a Facebook in China. You don't get WhatsApp in China. You don't get, what's the other one's name? You don't get Twitter in China. If you do, you have to jump through portals, or you have to use a VPN, a very private network, service provider. And it's also difficult because China has, I think they updated it last year, they've updated their own sort of like communication protocols. So even in that sense, it's difficult to get, you know, if you want to send contraband information into China. It is deemed as contraband because they have their own set of protocols in terms of what can be shared, what can be generated, and so on. For example, what I mean by that, people in China can't access, for example, things like YouTube easily. They can't. If you're in China, you can't access YouTube. If you're in China, you can forget about trying to access a porn website. You can forget about it. It does not exist. It doesn't exist. Not even the US ones. If you're in China, you can forget about accessing something like Netflix even. If it does exist, it'll be geared towards mostly the Chinese market. All the content on it will be geared towards the Chinese market. So in that same sense, that backdoor host, that one attack, that one passive attack, which is a backdoor strategy or technique, is something usually that the international surveillance and espionage agencies employ. They use that one, the backdoor. So many times, even the most notable one had been in terms of where the FBI or the CIA had approached Apple for its own system, the Apple operating system. And they requested Apple, guys, first and foremost, write a code for the FBI in terms of unlocking. It's like a universal key to unlock any Apple device that is locked by a terrorist. Let's, for example, say it was a terrorist that used a... They owned a... In this example, it was the husband and wife shooter combination in California. This was 2018, 2017. And what happened was that the husband and wife, they both died. But they both used... for their cell phones, they both used Apple iPhones. They both used iPhones. The FBI came to Apple, told them, generate a universal key to allow us to unlock these two devices of these people. Apple said no. First and foremost, you have to understand that, you have to understand it's in their constitution to sort of like stand up against the government or the state. Here in Namibia, it's a little bit different. Instances, you know, you have to understand where your rights end and where someone else's rights begin, that type of balance. In the US, someone can just demand absolute rights, even if the rights actually either firstly harm you or offend you or cause, you know, more damage to you in your own state as an individual. So Apple said no, they will not generate a universal key to unlock the devices of this husband and wife shooting pair, because the two people went, it was actually at a shopping mall, and the belief was that they were sort of like groomed by the Islamic State, the IS, or ISIL or ISIS organization. In that same sense, this is what the FBI asked Apple to do: generate a universal key. Now, universal key is sort of like front door entry. But second onto that is also, if you ask to generate a backdoor entry, that's also the same notion, the same sort of explanation as with a universal key to unlock an Apple device. Because backdoor, front door, it still is a door that you have to enter in terms of to gain access to data or information. Let's get the next call. Let's get this first call in on the discussion. Eagle FM, good morning.
Oh, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good and you, Uncle Buana.
Professor, a long time. So, yes, I'm going to ask you a lot of questions. I'm not sure whether the ICTAC doesn't allow, then we can continue tomorrow.
No problem, Uncle Buana. You can still ask away, but you sound...
Yeah, one question before I go in there. Why is it like that in China? Is it because of the fear and the compromise of the government operating system, as well as the world peace? Because this time around, the protocol is not necessarily when you insult somebody. Just say, for example, where your right and someone's right begins. But it's basically the purpose. They are mainly and purposefully to make sure that the government operation and individual operation system, actually, I'm now talking about the integrated system, like when you're talking about this financial institution and all these other things. So is it because they do not want to compromise their effective system and as well as the peace? Your security, isn't it? You need our security. Because if this is how these things work, without even considering the protocol, because when you look at it, when you look at the cyberbullying and cyber crimes and the attack, so when you want to equip this, what is happening now on the computer, you know, this cyber warfare, when you put it in the physical there, what do you see? Are we seeing these things manifesting themselves through the way we are doing it now with you? Isn't it a way of also sometimes compromising and destabilizing the system? Maybe because of the absence of the protocol. But this protocol that we are talking about, these are not protocols. These are not ethics. Because every day today, in platform or wherever, you hear people being insulted. Isn't it? Being ridiculous. Being, slandered. So, but it's not, maybe this is also said by, what do you call this one?
Well, Angabwana, first and foremost, with sort of like communication protocols. For example, let's say with, I'm now taking a
what
piece.
What should be shared, what should be communicated.
Yeah,
like you say.
What you can see, what you cannot see, what you may listen to and stuff like that. So China actually updated their entire digital protocol last year. It's one of the things that impacted their banks and that other company, that property company, the Evergrande real estate company. But the digital one, wherein they actually decided, listen, a 16-year-old or 15-year-old can only access the internet for 2 hours a day. They actively updated.
Yeah, no, let's leave those limits. Let's say now they add that, like me and you. So why do you think they are doing that in those other countries, trying to make sure that this is cyber crime or attack are minimized when they are not actually facilitated to the point where you can seriously create destabilize the society, the system, and they also compromise the national security, for example. You know that it does that, and I'm sure. The reason why they are using it also, they are the warfare, they are the Ukraine and all this other hand, it is because it can seriously destabilize.
But it is, it is for that aim, Angabwana. That's why it happens like that.
Okay. Then if that is the case now, when you equip this, let's say look at the platform, for example, where people are interacting. The communication protocol has to be observed as well. And you understand this kind of dynamics. And we are also told, remember a long time ago, we were told that, yes, it is now up to the media house and everybody. So since we ourselves as individuals, we don't seem to understand the principle where your rights end, where my rights begin. Even if we understand that one, we are still doing it.
Angabwana, what are you getting at?
No, I'm getting to say, you also mentioned that, yes, in other countries, they balance up this trade. To make sure that, yes, a protocol, for example, where your right end, my right begin. Isn't it?
Yeah.
And you are saying that this compromise and vulnerability, the factors that you are talking about, and also, now, if this is the case, how do we then make sure that we stabilize these things? Because it can stabilize the society. Maybe through individual, maybe the government there has put in strategies, effective strategies to counter those ones. But here, how do we deal with it? Here on this kind of platform, maybe it's a radio or whatever, I don't know the platform that you have here. Maybe WhatsApp or YouTube, I believe they are in here, isn't it? So now, with this other thing now, how do we make sure that people adhere to this code of conduct, this protocol that you're talking about? Maybe that's the reason why in other countries like China and other ones where you see, is because they don't want their society to be compromised and the people being coerced into this kind of things. How do we deal with it? So they are saying,
Now here in Namibia, Angabwana, if with regards to like internet use, internet access and stuff like that, there's the main authority, which is usually the MICT ministry, but the MIC ministry, actually they would have to sort of like update themselves. Second on that is you would then need someone between the internet service providers sort of like to, get together and have their own society in that sense, because if you have to leave it like up to an NGO would come with a different agenda. If you have to leave it up with government will come with a different agenda, like in China's example.
Let's balance up the whole thing.
The question.
But my concern there, let's leave that one into those agencies and things like that, national intelligence and whatever in the government prison. But I'm saying that there's an element of an individual, isn't it?
Mm.
And those individuals sometimes come or form up a cooperative system, society now, and work together. Now, on the individual, because even the protocol here is also the protocol here is violated by our behavior, our conduct. I'll just give you an example. How do we equip, the question again, how do we equip this cyber warfare to the platform that we are using now, me and you are sharing now? Because this is the manifestation that are seen there. They are the same that are here.
But Angabona, it's like you are asking me now, for example, if a crime takes place and the guy has a gun, it's about me wearing a bulletproof vest. The unfortunate thing is the only bulletproof vest that you and I can wear is antivirus on our own PCs. And that is the
thing. So how are we going to put that antivirus on our mouth? Because we are using this one. We are not using those technologies on our mouth so that we don't compromise the security and everything that we are talking about.
Angabona, who made you unhappy? It wasn't me. I know
I'm just trying to reason together and understand some of these issues. How do we? Because if the warfare there, maybe the government system has made a provision to counter attack and all these things. Here, where me and you. So should our rights and all these things be compromised now? That's my question. Are we going to have these things compromised now?
The worst scenario is, Angabona, if we stick on the cyber crime, the worst scenario is we won't even know it happens, that our rights have been infringed.
But here we know that it's happened because here it's easy. So let's forget about those ones you cannot observe and defend about it. But here where you can easily see, this guy.
Well, Angabona, first and foremost, there is outlets. If you take a look, like in the media sense, the best one is the media ombudsman that can sometimes assist with something like that. But it depends.
People have got enough time to go to, unless you want to show, to make somebody an example. So do you think that even that the one that took place between the first lady and the bishop, do you think she really wanted it? So she didn't want it, and she really had no time except when the society said,
you mean like something on a WhatsApp group, Angabona?
All those things. I'll give an example of how on our platform here, how do you deal with this? This is what we are seeing.
On social media platforms, the most important thing is always you have to ask. It's a direct libel. It's a direct libel case because if you can establish there was an audience, meaning people saw and read and reacted to it, first and foremost, there was a victim and there was an aggressor. That's more than enough.
Yeah, I understand. But my concern was just to draw you to that so that people are aware. So we are really aware because many a times that we think that we see it. You know why? How people demonstrate. They demonstrate, go to the agency and whoever an organization and things like that. Isn't it because of some of these things? So what we are saying, I just want us so that we can learn and educate ourselves because maybe cyber warfare and welfare and all these other things are not happening. Can't we maybe relate it to the example that we are seeing, what we are experiencing on a day-to-day basis? Because this is also part of compromising and bringing kind of vulnerability and things like that. You understand? So they might not go into our banking system and everything there because we are secured now. I'm talking about the vulnerability on the people, on individually like you and me and issues like that. You understand?
Usually, Angabona, that is like the one word you used in the beginning. You know, etiquette, how people interact with each other.
Understand that one. So you don't even hear how people are starting, they start with this today, tomorrow, then the next tomorrow. One wonder that, is this not a Weber, whatever. It's not really bullying anyway. It's not bullying. Bullying is sometimes people take it as, you remember how you're giving your testimony. When you started to say, how is the kids bullying you? The thing is, it's not a bullying. Let's talk about insult, deformation of characters, and many other, those kinds of things.
It forms part of cyberbullying, Angabona. It forms part of cyberbullying.
Yeah, it forms part of cyberbullying, but I think you don't even have a law or whatever to face here, cyberbullying and things like that, and protect the kids in the street. How are you going to have the one that will protect the Angobwana?
Well, exactly, Angobwana. But Angobwana, we're about to end. We're about to end now.
Yeah, let's end this all. Keep on educating these things, but the people need to be aware of this issue.
But Angobwana, just to let you know, for tomorrow, I am talking about cyberbullying. Because, so we can have this discussion still tomorrow.
Because I've been writing notes here and all these kind of things. Tomorrow we can go, because I won't take long tomorrow. It will be 2-3 minutes.
No problem, Angobwana. No problem. Bye.
Now, as you heard there, guys, in terms of, firstly, I have to apologize in terms of taking out a bulk of conversation space with regards to one caller. But on a note, in terms of just ending off with today's program before before Sally Jason comes through for the brand conversation, just to get you through some of those attacks in terms of how they sometimes go. Now, we ended at Network, where Network had the man in the middle, man in the browser, ARP poisoning, ping flooding, ping of death, and Smurf attacking. Then you get the other ones in terms of host, even where the host itself gets attacked, that being a buffer overflow, a heap overflow, stack overflow, format string attacking, and also by modality being taking a look at the broader expansion of a network or the infrastructure, that being supply chain attack, social engineering, as well as also exploitation. Now that brings us up to the end of today's program of the Tech Eagle here in terms of discussion regarding cybercrime, cyber attacks. For tomorrow, as mentioned, and just to prelude, and this was supposed to be in a surprise, but nonetheless, it was not a surprise because Angobwana prompted the surprise itself. But cyberbullying is our discussion for tomorrow. Come through for that, because I'll cover all the aspects regarding cyberbullying, from social media platforms into even that being on the conventional aspect of cyberbullying itself. And donning me with her presence, as well as also being here, just slightly waiting, is the colleague, Sally Jason.
Hi. Oh, I thought my name is colleague for today. I was going to be like, hi, I'm colleague Jason. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, and you, Sally?
I'm good. How was your show?
Well, cyber attack, cyber crime is sort of like one of the most interesting things, because tech is not always about physical hardware, phone updates, and what Android
and Apple
who's
supporter.
An Android supporter, and who's it is also Mac. About the things that we don't see, the world we don't know about.
So when you mean like cyber attack, you mean like a virus on my computer?
Hacking.
Oh,
or just you inadvertently putting your memory stick into someone's PC and you didn't know that person doesn't have an antivirus on their
system. Why we need to use protection.
Sally. This is the second time, Sally. The puns are too much.
It's not a pun, it's the truth.
It's a loaded pun.
When you put your PC, your memories, USB in the computer,
you smacked me out of the park, because I was like,
but it's true, Mus.
Yeah, it is true.
You guys are the ones with the dirty minds. Me, I'm just talking about PCs and antivirus.
I ended at antivirus, ne?
Yeah.
And you ended
like HIV is also on us.
Antivirus.
Yes.
Antivirus,
yes.
Which is PC. Yes. You don't get an antivirus for a human.
Okay, sorry.
But no problem, Sally. And for today's session on Brand Conversation, Sally, what can we look forward to?
So we're looking at identifying leadership weaknesses and how to overcome them. I think it's always important for us to have these type of like entrepreneurial topics for those that are just starting out, you know, with their businesses. Those that have been in leadership positions for a long time. Because even those ones that have been in leadership positions for a long time, you know, things that we were doing 10 years are different to what we are doing now. So it's all about being, you know, adaptable. So those are the two people I'm talking to today.
I hope you're not going to touch on political leaders, né? Or army leaders.
I'm not even going to say the P word.
Okay. No political. No politics.
No politics, yeah.
Okay.
So, I don't know why. And Balte is laughing. Like, yeah. Why?
I wonder, yeah.
That's just...
We have to train our minds, guys. Whoa, we have to train our minds. Like... But on that note, Sally, it's all up to you. We'll see each other again after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Welcome to the Free Your Mind Show. This is the show that's designed to crack you up and make you
speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
But how can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first.
For social position. To raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM.
Oulio mnangeshefa na wahara kushivifa oma akuro yo kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mkulo olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali o hetatu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge dumo emaila. Ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opo mone oshijemo shiri nawa
Eagle FM
mwakati korubedero ude undi ora tiengi o Eagle FM ayalira era karaimba mbehina raka tuhana sana chinene omahungi wenyando omaihameno Uruhode no maunjiro. Na wina kukara no mapulilo wavana ni wetu yoshiwana. Na wina kove okuhungira ohunga no mamu ina woye. Kukusha orati yunjio Eagle FM ika onje kumurungu no mekulisiro yoshiwana. Matu hepa oru ya meto roye mushimbesho wina vivali na imbi hedi ombili harukwao. Shimwe oma ongore wadombude no njibisiro. Na wina inji on demokrasia ihe mupranga wayo. Hinda ombatro ye yodoranda efere no iwaeleta on blue waeleta po isi waeleta konomo oranji. Onora, ohambonda to imwe, ombali, odonora mbali, oine, oimwe, odo ine mbali. Miaro kana nombo oranji lukwao, onora, ohambonda tu oimwe, ombali, odonora mbali, oime, oimwe, odo ine mbali. Po hinda no EFT, po shita o stop order ko Eagle Media House, kumbanga njio kamuti FNB, ombranch ko utenji, ombali, ohambo ndatu, onora, oimwe, ohambo mbali, ombali, mwisho mwise. Miarka na ombranch ko utanjo, ombali, ohambo ndatu, onora, oimwe, ohambo mbali, ombali, mwisho mwise. Wakao namba kumuhitiza shimaliwa oyonji. Ohambo umwe, odo mbali mbali, ohambo mbali, odo imwe mbali, odo nora ndatu, oine ondatu. Ono mwara kumuhitiza oshimaliwa ku FNB oyonji. Ohambo umwe, odo mbali mbali, ohambo mbali, odo imwe mbali, odo nora ndatu, oine ondatu. Ungulisa oemeila, po onomora yoye, osho orifrensa yoye.
Eagle FM, the eye.